Haydn's biographer George August Greisinger asked Haydn why he wrote the loud drum stroke in the Andante of his 94th symphony. Was he trying to awaken the audience? To which Haydn replied, "No, but I was interested in surprising the public with something new and in making a brilliant debut, so that my student Pleyel, who was at that time engaged by an orchestra in London and whose concerts had opened a week before mine, should not outdo me." The first Allegro of the symphony had already met with countless bravos, but the enthusiasm reached its highest peak at the Andante with the drum stroke. Encore, encore sounded in every throat, and Pleyel himself complimented me on my idea. Welcome back to Accelerando. I'm Paula Tuttle, and today we're talking about composers' methods to keep the listeners engaged. Haydn was well known for putting jokes in his symphonies, and the 94th symphony became known as the Surprise Symphony. The big surprise? A fortissimo chord at the end of an otherwise pianissimo phrase. Okay, by today's standards, this is pretty tame. But Haydn was early in this tradition of trying to trip up the listeners. And he had to stay somewhat orthodox. He couldn't get too wild. Haydn was under the thumb of the Esterhazy family. He was a court musician at their castle for most of his career, so things remained proper and civilized. He might have felt a bit isolated from the trends in music in the big cities, but he found ways to be original. Haydn felt he had to force himself to be original or to be creative, which is funny because in the scheme of music history, he was a great influencer. Today, we call him the father of the symphony and the father of the string quartet. So when he wrote his Surprise Symphony, people went kind of nuts over it. It shook people up in a good way. So let's fast forward and see what some classic rock songwriters have done to surprise their listeners.
Yesterday, all my troubles seem so far away. Now it looks as though they're here to stay. Oh, I believe in yesterday.
Suddenly, yes, it's the Beatles. They wrote music that adhered to basic harmonic traditions a lot of the time. And then sometimes they took us out for a spin. In this song, it's really very traditional, except for a couple of things that grab our attention and our emotions.
Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say.
I think the song Yesterday gets its charm because the first two phrases are 7 bars instead of the usual 8-bar phrase. And then the third goes back to an 8-bar phrase. It's the unusual phrase structure, the surprise in the phrase structure that pulled at the emotions. 7 bars. 7 bars, then 8 bars. Then it repeats the whole song. 7, 7, 8. And a little coda that's the same 7-bar phrase with a 2-bar outro, mirroring the 2-bar intro. So simple, delicate. It's a perfect example of how music tugs at the heartstrings. In Yesterday, it's partly the phrase length that's unexpected, but the Beatles were tunesmiths. Paul McCartney wrote this one. They employed tricks that have worked for centuries. The 7-bar phrase is nice, but the harmony plays an even bigger role in getting listeners emotionally engaged. So a little music theory. The song starts on an F major chord, and then the 2nd bar moves immediately to E minor, which is unexpected. It yanks at your heartstrings right from the bat because, well, E minor is sad, and we expect a B flat major or a C major chord next. That's the normal progression. Each phrase does resolve on F major, but only after some machinations that involve more minor chords. The third phrase starts in E minor, more sadness. Then both the fourth and eighth bars resolve on F. And we all feel like we've been on an emotional roller coaster, which is kind of what the author is singing about.
I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly.
The use of deceptive cadences has been around for a long time. Probably was invented as long as there has been music to write down. In Haydn's music, he loved deceptive cadences. Usually it's a resolution to the minor sixth chord when you're expecting the tonic. But the scheme proved so effective. Composers used brand extension with deceptive cadences and other surprise techniques for centuries. So the drum stroke, the forte drum stroke, and surprise symphony is just one way to play tricks on the audience. How a composer treats his harmonic progression is where the mastery begins, where he or she leaves their mark, their DNA, or their thumbprint. So with deceptive cadences, the unexpected resolution tugs on the emotions. So why stop there? Composers found lots of ways to pull the rug out from its listeners. They set up expectations and then they defy them. And all the while, we don't know when or how they're going to trick us again. Here's a few examples.
And in her eyes you see nothing. No sign of love behind the tears. Cried for no one. A love that should have lasted years.
This piece starts in the sunny key of B major and is pretty square, maybe 1 5-bar phrase, but you're getting comfortable, and then the piece ends on an F sharp, and you're expecting the tonic B, but you're left hanging. But wait, then there's the next song. Maybe it will resolve. No, it doesn't resolve to B. It goes to A. We were expecting B. It feels off-center. The song is Dr. Robert, and it's depicting some experiences with drugs. Need I say more? This use of keys to manipulate the listeners, it's been a sophisticated game for eons. Composers were also drawn to their favorite keys. Haydn wrote in D major a lot, something like 1/4 of the time. It was also comfortable to string players, but I'm not sure if that had anything to do with it, unless he hoped they'd play more in tune. Bach liked G major, something like 12%. Liszt liked E major, and E major fits the hand on piano, but he moved around a lot. His keys were all over the place. Beethoven liked C a lot, but he liked E flat even more. The Emperor Concerto, the Eroica Symphony, they're both in E flat, and lots of chamber music. Rachmaninoff liked D minor, and Dvorak liked G minor. Is this an Eastern Bloc thing? No, Tchaikovsky liked G major and F and D. Okay, let's go back to the emotional twisting composers do. Besides the key of choice, changing keys is another way to enlist your listeners. And music just got more and more complex as the keys kept changing within a work. Used to be, the key changes were predictable, but composers wanted to put an end to that. The orchestras got bigger and bigger to handle the dissonances. In the final chords of the Dvorak Cello Concerto, the composer uses the most dissonant chord of the piece. Very effective. And in one of his very last operas, Wagner introduced a chord in the very first phrase of the 4-hour opera that verges on atonality, and now we simply call it the Tristan chord. Pretty soon, composers pushed dissonance to the breaking point. The composers broke music. Harmony crossed the line, and there was no turning back. Now what? How do you surprise people now? Well, it depends on what we want the music for. Going back to popular idioms like rock and jazz, the unexpected solos could become nearly violent. In classical music, things got violent too. Look what happened at Rite of Spring. At some point, music moved into the atonal, no key. There's a surprise. And then what? The music went in a couple ways. One was avant-garde music, like what we talked about with John Cage. And he really moved into the unexpected when the piece had no notes. And the audience felt pretty tense there. Some composers did try to go backwards, into the neoclassical, like Stravinsky's period after his Russian period. You can say it moved forward and backward at the same time. And like everything from fashion to marketing, there's a cycle. So harmonic tradition cycled back. People still like regular harmony, and they like to be engaged, so the cycle just goes round and round. There's evolution and revolution. Whether it's pop or classical, you find both. People like to be surprised. Haydn got that right. If you like this episode, maybe you'd like to subscribe. You can find the subscribe button on your Apple Podcasts or Google or Amazon. Also, please share with a friend or someone you think will enjoy it. Until next time, keep supporting live music and the musicians in your community. Bye now.